Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, March 21st, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hey.
I'm glad to have you here with me today. Also today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So today, Apple broke with tradition, the tradition of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and did not issue a press release today announcing anything new or anything returning.
Boo.
Yeah, I decided yesterday we needed to call it iPad Mini. Don't call it a comeback.
But this isn't a bad thing because it at least, you know, we get to save a little bit of money today. So
yeah, exactly. So yesterday we did talk about them. There are new AirPods announced. I never did get around to buying a pair when I meant to, and just one thing and another, and then they were out of stock. Like the availability was spotty, so I never got around to actually purchasing a pair. So now I'm back in the gosh, should I get them? Do I need them? Whatever. And we started sort of accidentally having a headphones conversation this morning. So we're going to continue that on the show. And so, Dave, let's talk about let's give the listeners new to the Dave Hamilton show a slight overview of the bona fides you have for this conversation.
Well, I'm just a picky listener, right? Like, I mean, that's
no.
The one that matters the most, I think, maybe.
No.
I care about sound quality. I'm a musician. Obviously a longtime podcaster, but frankly, the reason that I was able to start podcasting 14 years ago was that I owned 100% of all the gear that I needed because I'm a musician,
right.
I've also done some like home studio stuff. Mostly my interest is in live sound, but a lot of it is similar stuff. So I had compressors and, you know, preamps, and I understand how all these things work and such that, for example, I understood, like, I liked the original Audio Hijack Pro user interface. Like, this stuff makes sense
too.
To me. Right, because it was like wiring up analog stuff. Now it's not so much that anymore, and it's actually better. Yeah, it's better. But at least I understood it, right? And
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm picky about sound. I have been, yes, I'm a musician, I'm a drummer. I've been wearing earplugs, though, since I was 14 years old, because I read an article with Alex Van Halen that at that point in time, and he said he'd lost like 60% in one ear and 30% in the other. Mm-hmm. And I decided I did not want that to be me. So, and I had my hearing tested a couple of years ago, and they told me I had the hearing of a like 20 something. And, you know, they were shocked that I was not a 20 something and also that I was a drummer. So yeah, I care about this stuff.
And a lot.
So yeah. And it, like in general, I care about it, but I especially care about it when I'm listening to music or even like podcasts. If the sound's not great, I don't like it. That's part of why, you know, we're a little bit obsessive here about how things sound. It sort of comes from me. So
yes.
That's enough bona fides. There you go. You want to talk about what people should buy, don't you?
Professional. Well, but I do want to like let people know who may not be familiar that, you know, this is in essence a professional assessment because you are a professional musician and people pay you to go play drums places, so
they
that
do.
Makes you a professional musician, as opposed to me, I just really like karaoke, which is a whole different thing. So
there's nothing wrong with that,
but that doesn't mean that I can give you an opinion as a professional musician. So Charlotte, how about you, because you've got some cred in this arena.
I hope so. My undergraduate degree, which is more years ago than I want to remember, was I majored in music technology. And like Dave, I'm a particularly picky listener. You know, I'm sitting in my apartment, which has two big JBL speakers because I won't listen on a little, not proper stereo setup. I like Dave, I'm a very, very picky listener. I have done a lot of live music stuff. I've done possibly a bit more. I've done a lot of studio composition and studio setup stuff as well. So, yeah, but you've got the right people here because we're both a little bit too obsessed with how things sound.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah, I have a spectator's interest, I guess we'll call it. Mr. Kelly and I have some pretty reasonable audio video gear. We have some really nice Bowers and Wilkins speakers as hooked up to the big TV with the amp and the whole thing. We don't have the amp with the tubes in it. I tried so hard to get that one. I promise. It was so pretty and it sounded so good. And so like we have a, you know, reasonable amount of equipment. It's not one of those like AV setups that was like I could have an AV setup or I could have a car. But it's, you know, we've done a lot and I am just sort of an enthusiastic listener. I enjoy all kinds of music and all kinds of movies and I want all of them to sound good. So I have that, but I'm also a person who does listen to, I will listen to stuff on my phone. I will listen to things over Bluetooth in the car occasionally. So we want to talk a little bit about the new AirPods. So Dave, the new ones, from what I can tell, the audio of them, the audio makeup, I guess, is the same as what you were getting before. There's not better speakers in them or anything, if that's what you were hoping for in getting new AirPods.
That's what it seems like to me, too, though. I haven't tested them, but it sure seems that way. And, you know, audio quality of the AirPods, I'll state right up front, I like my OG AirPods. Mm-hmm. I should not, right? Everything on paper says that they're not for me, but they are. Their sound quality isn't spectacular, but it does hit that good enough bar for me where I can enjoy it at some level. I cannot mm-hmm. be distracted by them sounding bad. You know what I mean? Like they sound good enough that I can use them functionally. And I do like them when I'm in like a city and walking around mm-hmm. and want to hear, you know, people around me. But they really, what I use my AirPods for, I would say 80% of the time that I use them is for phone calls. And they're mm-hmm. the best Bluetooth headset I've ever used.
And that's like part of it is the package, I guess, of, you know, maybe the audio quality in them is not stellar, but they're completely wireless and they're fast to charge. And you could use one if you only need one, you know, for different things, and no cords anywhere is really nice. And, you know, you don't have the incompatible ear shape. So, you know, as long as they stay in your ear, then that's fine.
Yeah,
so, and that's
unfortunate there.
Yeah, that's a thing that can't be helped. You know, they say one size fits most, and that seems to be the case. Charlotte, you did not seem to be a fan.
I think they look ridiculous.
Like, I understand.
Wrong.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple and headphones is a kind of iconic thing. We all remember those famous iPod ads with the white silhouette, which made that headphones, and people were like, why on earth would you ever want white headphones before? And then the adverts came out and they looked really cool, and that silhouette advert was cool. That is not the case with the AirPods. I fail to see any circumstances in which the AirPods can look cool.
Okay, so and
I actually don't disagree.
Yeah,
they do look a little janky, but
they look,
you know,
a little
whatever.
Goofy.
So I totally get that if you know that they are hugely useful and compatible with a phone, and that's great, and I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But you have to. I was kind of shocked. So there's two things I don't like about AirPods. One, and they're related. So I think they look weird, and I don't quite get why people would want to walk around the street with them. But also, like, there's lots of bits, and I can just envisage a lot of, like, people with only one AirPod and, like, a lot of getting lost happening.
That's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a number of
people. When I first saw them come out, I was kind of surprised that is the form factor Apple had gone. I was not surprised that Apple had picked, created a Bluetooth headset. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that they looked like that.
Yes.
And operated
like that.
I
understand completely.
And even with the upgrades, I remain of that opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I think they do look a little silly. You can probably go back to live coverage of when those were announced on TMO and probably find the part where I went, if I had those, I would lose them so fast. Not all of it, just like one. I would lose one so quickly. Right. Which I still sort of feel like a little bit, but I still do kind of want them. And given the way that Apple sometimes relentlessly marches forward, I do want to shout out that the old AirPods and the new AirPods, like Mark 1 and Mark 2, seem to be the same in that you can buy the case for the brand new AirPods and it will hold the old ones. And that seems, and that's great. Apple's not generally known for doing that. Like, look at all the iterations of iPhone cases and iPad cases and things that had to come out because the size changed just that much. And now everybody has to buy new stuff. So I did appreciate that for people who do have original AirPods. If you were able to get your hands on some in the first few months that they were out, a lot of people have talked about how the battery on them is not great. And so being able to buy the new wireless charging case and spiff up your old headphones, you know, give them a little present, seemed like a really great thing. And, you know, Apple's only about probably 50-50 on doing something like that, where this also works nice with thing. The old thing.
It was a nice touch.
Yeah. The new thing, it totally works with the old thing. I thought that was great. But it does seem like the upgrades are hardware based. Like, they connect faster, or there's less latency if you're using them with, you know, on a phone call or
well, and you get Hey S Lady. Like, that's a remarkable upgrade for some people. Like, that's probably enough to get some folks to do it.
Yeah.
But that's not why we're here, right?
No.
We did that yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We didn't really talk about S Lady with them yesterday, but that's one of the big, that is, there's basically two upgrades, and that's the other one. And the one is just general updation of the Bluetooth chip. Shout out to Charlotte, who wanted it to be accessory day, and we only really got the one accessory, you know, and it's wireless charging sidekick, even though Apple doesn't sell anything with which to charge them wirelessly. Ahem. So what I want to do. Yeah, Charlotte.
No, I was just wondering what the AirMat situation was, because we know obviously there was nothing on that yesterday.
We all wonder that.
Okay.
I believe we can officially upgrade it to the $64,000 question. Because nobody knows. So what I want to find out now is what do you use? Like, one of the things that we talked about briefly this morning was being on an airplane. Like, if you're going to wear, like, if you have AirPods and you go on an airplane, that's a bad scene because it's not great. So, Dave, I want to find out from you what your like daily drivers are and then what you take on a plane.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. So, my daily drivers, I would say these days are AirPods, though I do very little headphone music listening on a daily basis. So, but AirPods are sort of the things I have around. And if I, you know, if I'm walking to and from my car, whatever, I'll have them with me. And that's, you know, kind of a nice thing. But there are two places, airplanes being one of them, where I do not use AirPods. The other is if I'm playing my drums. Actually, to be fair, there's three places. The third would be podcasting, but that's because I don't use Bluetooth for podcasting because the latency gets a little weird when you're hearing your own voice echoed and all that. So playing my drums and an airplane, though, are two very similar environments in that I want my music isolated. I want what I'm hearing isolated from the outside world.
Yes.
With an airplane, because the plane is loud, and playing my drums because the drums are loud. And so AirPods are not that, right? They do not seal from the outside world, so they don't offer any noise rejection or canceling or whatever you want. So on an airplane, I definitely like the true wireless scenario that AirPods offers, right? Where there's no cables and all of that stuff. There's two things that there's several that I'll recommend here. Often on airplanes, I will choose to go with over-the-ear headphones, and the JBL Everest Elites are the ones that I go with. We'll put links to all these in the show notes, but they're less than $200, or maybe actually I think the Everest Elites are $200, but there's others in the Everest category that have, you know, Bluetooth. I guess they're all Bluetooth, and they have some noise cancellation and things like that. And JBL has done a wonderful job with those. I like Charlotte. I'm a fan of JBL's sound signature, and they do a really good job with those, and I find them comfortable. For the in-ear true wireless experience, though, there are several that I've checked out. The ones that I use most often, and I should preface all of this by saying, you know, I get a lot of these things, not all of them, but a lot of them as review units. So I it's easy for me to sort of test all these and use them, but I haven't spent my own money on necessarily everything that we're talking about here. But the ones that I use, you know, the most and actually used on my flights to and from South by Southwest last week are the Irin M2s. Irin, I think, was the first company to market with a wireless earphone, you know, a wireless earbud, I should say. And their M2s, which came out last year, do it without the, any notable latency. So you can watch a video and have it be in sync. Their M1s, you could not. But but the M2s, you can, and they work really well, and it's actually really nice. You just pick them up, and they are exactly the same shape. Both units are. They have a little like magnetic wireless charging case, not the same as AirPods, but you know, same functionality. And you put them in your ear, and it figures out which one is right and left. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And pairs up, and everything's good. And you know, they work great. They've got about, they say about 4 hours of playtime, but then you put them in the case and they charge up, but they're not cheap. They're $250 to get a pair of those. So there are others out there, and certainly my second favorite, and these are the ones actually that I've been using to play my drums with lately, and I really like them, is the Anker has a brand called Soundcore, which is, you know, it's their sub-brand for music stuff and speakers. And their new Liberty Air earphones are fantastic. They do, however, Charlotte, they look like black AirPods. So you might not like
horror.
Maybe a little. Yeah. I mean,
to be I think I probably prefer black AirPods than white ones.
Well, there you go. So, but they do seal in your ear. They come with tips that, you know, you can sort of set in size, and they fit in your ear and seal, and they stay in nicely. And they sound really good. I use them when I play my drums, and it, like, I'm able to hear a full range of sound, and they, you know, they work really well. So, and I, unfortunately they are out of stock on Amazon right now, but I think they're in the less than $100 range.
They're like $75 or $80, I think.
I think that's right. Yep. Honorable mentions go to the, there's a company called Rokin, R-O-W-K-I-N. I've tested a bunch of their stuff. The things in their Bit Charge and Bit Touch series are sort of fit this realm. They're like little, you know, AirPods in an AirPods style case, but they're just earbuds. They're not, they don't have the little dangle. And the dangle, I assume, in the AirPods and also in the Soundcore is to make the sound of phone calls better for, you know, for the microphone. But those are also in that $70 to $80 range. And the Jabra Elite 65T, that's a little more expensive. That's in the AirPods price range of $170, but they've got great isolation and good sound. So, so there you go. But you know, in order, it would be for the earbuds, it would be the Earin M2s and then the Anker Soundcore Liberty Airs, you know?
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
All right. Cool. I didn't.
Lots of stuff. I know.
That's a, yeah. I was gonna say that's a lot of headphones. My, I don't really have a lot of headphone miles that I put on during the day. So generally, it's podcasting, and I have a wired pair of over ear headphones that I use for that. And that's about it. So, what I want to do now is I want to talk a little bit about our sponsor today, and our sponsor today is KiwiCo, and KiwiCo is a company that is reimagining the way that kids play and learn. They have these really cool projects that are hands-on, and they make learning fun. They're self-contained projects. They come to you. They call it a Kiwi Crate. There are seven different lines of Kiwi Crates that you can choose from. They have projects available for kids of all ages, from real, real young up all the way through high school. And everything that you need comes in the crate, and it comes right to your door. And I've sent these out personally to kids that I know, and subscribe them to some of these. And I get nothing but rave reviews about them all the time. So, you know, one of the great things about it is if you do sign up for like a year or something, then, you know, having a kid that gets mail every month is really, really excited in my experience. So that's a thing that works really well. I've seen one of the older kids' Kiwi crates for this month, and it's a walking robot, and you put it together yourself. It's really cool. The instructions are really easy to follow. It comes with a little sort of a magazine about like robots and what they do and how they work, and it's really neat. So I was super into it, and it looked like something that I definitely would have had a very good time with if I were younger when this had been released. I probably would have begged for one of these myself because it looks super awesome. And like I said, everything you need comes in the kit. So you don't have to do anything in particular. What I will tell you is that as a TDO listener, you can get your first crate free. And that's if you go to kiwico.com/TDO. So if you go there, like I said, your first crate, absolutely free. That's kiwico.com/TDO. It's your first crate free. kiwico.com/TDO gets you that freebie. Figure out who you want to send it to and have some fun building some stuff. We'd like to thank KiwiCo for sponsoring the show today. And our other topic, real quickly, I just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about Apple and their news and their publisher situation. Charlotte, you wrote something about this.
Yeah, there was an interesting story that I wrote up that originally came from the ironically, the New York Times, that we're going to see when Apple, we think, announces a premium new service on Monday at its showtime. We think that Wall Street Journal are going to be one of the publications involved in that and going to be there to open it up, and all very exciting. Interestingly, though, it's reported that the New York Times and the Washington Post will not be. Apparently, there's quite a lot of tension over how much of the subscription revenue Apple wants to get. This is my surprise face. apparently, Apple want 50% of the sub revenue.
Okay.
Which, okay, they could argue, look, we're providing the platform, we're getting new subscribers. We should split the money. That's good. But also, not surprising me, the publishers are like, no. We don't want to do this. So they seem they've managed to woo the Wall Street Journal, which I think is quite significant. And I can see why. If you're the Wall Street Journal, you want a premium Apple audience. I can see that. And I can see if you're Apple, why you want the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
I can see that that works for everyone.
Well, and what's interesting to me is like the New York Times and the Washington Post are commonly publications that get held up as examples of places that have instituted a paywall and made more stuff only available through a subscription in some fashion, whether that's paper or digital or a combination of both, and seem to be pointed to as success in this particular venue. And so I was interested, but like you, this here's my shocked face, not surprised a little to find out that they I was a little surprised to find out they would not be involved at all, which is not the same as, like, you know, we have, like, the front page goes out every day for free or something, and, you know, we're just going to use that as a way to try to get people to subscribe to us, but we're not really interested in being part of
the publication. So this isn't
the publication.
We think that it's the subscription news tier. So it looks like we're going to make Apple News is going to become two-tiered. There's going to be the free bit, which we all currently enjoy, and then there's going to be a premium, which is about $10 a month, it looks like.
Okay.
Which I don't think... Which is an interesting way of doing it, because, of course, that's about the same as a subscription to one of those publications. And actually, if I'm remembering rightly, that's a lot less than a Wall Street Journal subscription.
It's significantly less. If you just want the Wall Street Journal, this is how to get it.
Yeah. So,
well, of course, right now it is only one, as far as we understand, right? I mean, there needs to be, and I think there will be more. My guess is they would not have scheduled an event for next week where it sure seems like this is what's going to be announced, and only have one partner.
No. You can see lots of different partners with the Wall Street Journal's kind of the VIPs, can't you?
Yeah. Well, they have the anchor tenant, right? And now
Yep.
No, I get protected. Look, we are fiercely independent here at TMO, right? Like, so I grok all of this, but I think there is something that Apple brings to the table here, and that is a huge audience, right? Like, if someone wants to subscribe just to the Wall Street Journal or just to the New York Times, they can certainly do that, right? Like, nothing is, I'm assuming that there's no exclusivity clause or whatever in Apple's deals.
Right.
But, you know, if there's people that can casually read it and the Wall Street Journal can capture some of that revenue for that content, that's like,
hooray.
You know, yeah. Is there a downside here? Right. I mean, there is like, there will be some cannibalization where people say, okay, I'm going to stop my Wall Street Journal subscription and move over there.
Right.
And the Wall Street Journal just needs to look at those numbers and say, okay, is this overall, is this accretive or, you know, are we losing mm-hmm. something? And so, yeah. Yeah.
And we have to assume you're not going to get the full Wall Street Journal or any other publication's full experience on Apple News Premium.
Right, because it's going to be through Apple News.
Correct. And, yeah. Well, and more, I just don't think every piece of content published by, say, the Wall Street Journal will automatically get pushed to Apple News Premium. I assume that will be part of the deal.
Yeah, and I think a couple of things here. First, I think that... it sort of sounds like the Wall Street Journal is adopting the stance I wish Nintendo would adopt, which is if we can get some money from some people as opposed to no money from those people, then we're going to take that hit. But also, you know, like Dave was talking about, there might be people that move over, but do they get other sort of, you know, casual revenue from doing something like this? And what I hope is that, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this together so it makes sense, but so it might not come out very well at first. But I hope that some of Apple's partners are the kinds of companies that own stacks of local newspapers and that Apple has made deals with them. So if I subscribe to Apple News, I get my local newspaper. I can get my local newspaper and my local news that way as well.
Mm. That would be awesome.
I would really
very good idea.
That's the crusade. Like this is what I hope. I expect this will not be the case, but what I hope is that Apple has determined that local news is really important. People really need to be informed on a local level as well as a national level, and lots of people are only getting informed on a national level right now, and this would make it very easy for people to be informed locally. And quite honestly, if Apple were to do this, I would sign up for my local paper through this in a heartbeat. I did use the digital experience I had with the newspaper that I signed up, that I subscribed to, and I hated every minute of it, and it just sort of made me grumpier to try to read the news than the actual content of the news itself. It just was hard and I hated it, and so I didn't resubscribe, and I told them exactly why, for all the good it did me. But But like, it's important to be a subscriber and to help make sure that there continues to be local news in a lot of areas. You know, this is a whole thing I could go on and on about, but I'm not going to right now.
Yeah, well,
but this is what I hope is that we get local news.
Local news doesn't actually exist as local news, though.
Right.
I mean, that's the sad part is, right, there's what, I forget the company's name, but they're in Dallas and they publish the local news in, you know, 3,000 different markets all over the country. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, they have local correspondents or whatever, but, you know, it's all been.
Yeah, but it's not the same as having a local paper that's actually 100% local. Yeah.
Right.
Newspapers are going the way of radio stations, and it's kind of crappy. And I wanted to get better. And I would really like if something like this were something that really brought the focus back to local news, local reporting. And then maybe some of these places can afford to hire an actual local reporter, you know, in places where there aren't any. And that would be great. I would like that very much.
Yeah. Interesting in the UK, I mean, as you can imagine, even in we're a much smaller country than you guys, and you can imagine if your local news is struggling, you can imagine the state of local media here in the mm-hmm. UK. But I also think it's worth saying that if Apple were to be able to crack local news in some way, it would be a very big competitive advantage against Facebook in particular, which has failed quite badly at local news.
Yes,
there was a story the other day that it was, you know,
they can't find
enough content.
Yes, and why is that? I wonder.
Right,
we'll have to answer that question another day.
If Apple News could get that right, that would be quite a big win mm-hmm. against a big rival.
I would like very much if that were the case. I hope it is. We will find out next week. Until then, thanks very much for joining me, Charlotte. I really appreciate that you came by today.
Thanks very much for having me.
And Dave, thanks for coming by and giving us the tour of your headphone bag.
Sure. Yeah. Someday we can talk about my wired headphone bag and what I use for podcasting, but that gets into a whole other realm. So,
yeah. I believe that's called Next Level. And yeah, it would be super fun to talk about, but we'll have to do it another day.
Way more expensive too.
Oh, it's so much. I know it's expensive.
I tried to stay less than $200 for everything today, and
that's true.
Almost succeeded. So
yes,
there you go.
So close.
My kind of price range headphone recommendation, if we want to do wired quickly, is Bose. I've got some Bose, I think, Quiet Comfort ones, which were about £250 at the time I bought them. And
to that, Dave says,
if you're going to be in that range, I don't prefer Bose's sound signature. So I would again point back to the JBL Everests, which, yes, are Bluetooth capable, but also you can plug them wired.
That's
those.
Great, yeah, because so if the battery's dead, you can still use them as headphones, which is really nice.
Or if you need to plug into the sound system on the airplane, you know,
even
watch
better
the screen.
Yep. Yes. Yep. All right. We will leave it there. I'm sure we will have more headphone recommendations for you in the future. And I will talk to all of you tomorrow, whether or not there's another Apple press release. So until then, be excellent to each other.